Okay, good evening, everyone. Good evening. I'm going to start answering the question that you asked me before the lecture started. You started to ask if a person is trying to keep Shabbat. If a person is trying to keep Shabbat, but according to your question, is still smoking. So obviously, it's not Shomer Shabbat. In Halakha, you don't have something in between. You don't have half Shomer Shabbat, 70% Shomer Shabbat. You have Shomer Shabbat and not Shomer Shabbat. But everybody understands that if you are a murderer, if you murder one person or 10, when are you a bigger criminal? When you murder 10. If you murder 100, you're worse. If you murder 1,000, you're worse. Everybody, if you ask the public who they hate more, someone who murdered one or someone who murdered 1,000, they hate someone who murdered. Why? Because he did a lot worse. Same thing, the same thing in every sin in the Torah, not only in murdering. Same thing in Chilul Shabbat. If you don't light the electric, very good. If you would have done it, it's another sin. You do it again, it's another sin. You do it again, it's another sin. It could be a million sins in one Shabbat. So, same thing with cigarettes. If in a normal day you smoke, I don't know, 30 cigarettes, and Shabbat you try not to, another hour, and in the end you smoke only 5, let's say, you know, because of the addiction, you don't get the same punishment if you smoke 30 or you smoke 5. It's a big, much bigger difference. Because you have to understand, on Shabbat, every time a person is sucking the cigarette, it creates new fire, right? The tobacco burns. So that's a separate Chilul Shabbat.
Every time you
smoke. Every time. You go like this. It's one Chilul Shabbat. Yeah, it's like starting the car. You do it again. You do it again. So I don't know. I never smoked in my whole life cigarettes. But how many times it takes to suck from the cigarette until it finish? How many times? About 20 times?
About 14, 15 times.
15 times and the cigarette finished?
Around. It gets the
so every cigarette, for a person who knows that Shabbat is a sin, it's a covenant between the Jews and God. So one cigarette that you smoke is like murdering 15 people. That's the law in Shamayim. That's how Hashem holds him guilty. Actually, it's worse. Because who gets a worse punishment in the Torah? Mechalel Shabbat or a murderer?
Murderer.
No, sure? Shabbat. Murderer is a puppet compared to Mechalel Shabbat. Now let's start to prove it, right? Maybe I'm fooling you.
No.
I have to prove to you that what I say is true, right? So let's start proving. If you go to court and you enter to two rooms, You see two criminals. You don't know what they did. You're working for the newspaper. You come with your video camera and you just hear the judge giving that person 50 years in prison. You don't know what he did. Then they push you out. You go to the next room. Somebody got 3 months in jail. You don't know what he did. And then they kick you out of the building and now somebody asks you downstairs, tell me, who is a bigger criminal, in the first room or in the second room? Now, you don't know what they did. You never heard.
The 15 years.
Okay, what would you say? The one who got 50 years in prison for sure is a bigger criminal, for sure, than the one who got 3 months.
Yeah.
Now, they tell you, are you willing to swear on your life with that? You're going to say yes. Why yes? Did you ever hear in the history that a person that made a bigger crime will get 3 months and the person who did nothing will get 50 years? Do you know any country in the world that this is their code besides the day of of Sodom and Amorah? They made their rules on purpose against logic. But other than them, in history, every place they try to make the laws, please shut the phones, but they won't ring. So, in any law, you have decency, you have human logic. Nowhere in history, a murderer and a person who stole $5 gets the same punishment, you know? We understand that. We don't need to be a judge to know it. Now, when we review the Torah, first thing we check is what's the punishment of Mechalel Shabbat. And what's the punishment of a murderer. Based on that, it gives us an idea what God thinks about us, right? What's the punishment of murderer? He's getting killed with a sword. There are four different kinds of execution. Four different kinds, thank you. Four different kinds. It go one, two, three, four. Which execution is the worst?
Skila.
Stoning, skila, thank you. Skila is the worst execution. After that, burning. After that, a sword. And after that, choking. Four different kinds of execution to the people who the Torah called them wicked. A punishment of a murderer is the third degree execution. Not the first, not the second, the third.
Fire?
No, the sword. Get killed with a sword. The Mechalel Shabbat get killed with a stone, with stoning, which is the worst punishment in the whole Torah. No other sin in the Torah has a bigger punishment than Mechalel Shabbat. How many times the order not to be Mechalel Shabbat is mentioned in the Torah? 12 times. How many times it mentioned not to kill? 3 times. The more times God repeated in the Torah, that means it's more important to him. Very good, you're smart kids, I see. Baruch Hashem. Okay, no, good. Sometimes, believe it or not, even things like this people don't understand. So the more times it repeats in the Torah, that means it's more important to God. Repeated so many times. Wow, it's very good. Okay. So that's the second proof. What's the third proof? We're going to review the sanction, restrictions that the Torah have against a murderer, and the sanction that the Torah has against Mechalel Shabbat. In order for us to understand that, we have to describe two kinds of people. First person is a murderer who keeps Shabbos. Believe it or not, there are few people like this in the world. Yeah, in an Israeli mafia, they keep Shabbat, but they still murder their enemies in a drug dealing business. You understand? Okay, shh. Now, the second person is a fantastic human being. He's a judge in the Supreme Court in Israel. He's a very nice and honest person. He's on television every day, you know, but he's Mechalel Shabbat. Like you say, smoke cigarette or whatever he does. Every person you ask, who's more positive person? The one who keeps Shabbat and murdering people every day? Or the person who never murdered, is a judge, is a good person, is nice, friendly, honest, whatever you want to call him, he gives a lot of donations to the army, whatever. But he's smoking on Shabbat. He has this habit to smoke on Shabbat. 99.9% of the Jews, not religious Jews, that don't know any Torah, then you ask him this question, they say, what is this, a joke?
It's logic, that's why.
What are you asking me? Of course that the murderer is much worse. Who cares that he keeps Shabbat? But we don't care what the ordinary people think. We care by the writer of the Torah what he says. He is the one who made the Torah. He is the one who made us. He is the one who designed this system of rules. And he designed the punishments and the rewards. And he's the one, okay, he's the one who is in charge of everything. And his logic, it's what counts, not our logic. Because each one of us has a different logic. For instance, you take one person, he's going to tell you it's a mitzvah to kill black people. That's his opinion. You take another person, he said it's a mitzvah to kill Arabs. You take almost every person on the world, it's a mitzvah to kill Jews. You take another person, it's a mitzvah to kill Chinese. You ask South Korea, it's mitzvah to kill North Korea. Everyone has his own logic. And they have explanation to back them up. So if we go by the logic of every individual, we're going to have billion, million logics. That's not how we determine what's correct and what's not correct. The only way to know what's the truth and what's not the truth is to take a divine book and see what God wrote. If you do not know if the book is divine, first you have to prove 100% that it's divine. For that, that's why I made my film, Torah and Science. Every person who watches it, he knows right away, the Torah of the Jews is the only book in history that was given by God. All the other books, Christianity, Islam, Buddhism, Hinduism, it's all nonsense. It's full of mistakes, full of errors, and not a minute to waste on it. It's full of human errors. That does not make human errors. But our book, nobody found one mistake in it. And the books in the Torah is full of prophecies. It's full of proofs that only the creator of the world was able to write it. He knows about all the fish, about all the oceans, about all the galaxies, all the stars, the number of the stars, how long it takes for the moon to renew by a 10,000th of a second when we didn't have computers in those days. So we see that he wrote in the Torah things that only the creator of the moon and all the galaxies was able to write. Only the creator of all the oceans, only the creators of all the fish, only the creators of all the animals, which is 2 million different kinds of animals. Nobody else was able to write such a thing. A person wasn't able to write it. Why it's important? Because after we know the Torah is divine, all we have to do is to learn. To learn what? To learn what God says it's true, what's lie. Now let's give an example. A person that is, that first person that is a murderer, but Shomer Shabbos. If he comes to Shul to pray, you can count him as one of the minyan. Why? He's Shomer Shabbat. You cannot kick him out. Of course, nobody wants a person like this in their Shul. Don't get me wrong. I didn't say that we come to give him a candy for being a murderer. He's a despicable human being that it's every normal person would not even stand next to him and not talk a word with him ever in your life. And I'm saying now the murderer walked in. What can you do? He became the 10th person and you want to start praying or you want to take out the Torah. You know, he's Shomer Shabbat. Every Shabbat is in Shul. See him. He's not lighting fire, not smoking, not everything. The noise is disturbing me a little bit. I'm sorry. So what's going on? So you see a guy like this, it can be a part of the minyan. But the other person is not going to be a part of the minyan. He cannot be a part of the minyan. You understand? So right away you see, if he can be a part of the minyan and he cannot be, who's worse?
The one
who's not Shomer Shabbat becomes worse. Then you want to use him as a witness in your wedding. The one who doesn't keep Shabbat, if he testifies in your wedding as one of the witnesses, you are not married. The murderer that keeps Shabbat, if he testifies in your wedding, you are married. That's a big difference. Why? Tomorrow your wife sue you for $50 million for divorce. If you prove to the court that one of the witnesses was Mechalel Shabbat, you send your wife out of the window with a kick and you give her nothing because she was never your wife. You just got away with $50 million. Why? One of the witnesses was a goy. According to the Torah, 100% Mechalel Shabbat is 100% like a goy. And the murderer who keeps Shabbat signed in your ketubah, you are married. I give you another example. If the murderer comes to slaughter the cow, he wants to make glatt kosher food, the murderer, he slaughtered the cow exactly according to the law of slaughtering. The meat is glatt kosher meat. If this judge, the Mechalel Shabbat from the Supreme Court in Israel, which is a nice, fantastic human being, everyone is crazy about his charisma and his brilliance. He has degrees from the best universities in the world, but he smokes on Shabbat. If he slaughtered the cow, the meat is a kol nevela, taref. He cannot do anything with that. He cannot eat it. He cannot touch the meat. If you give a loan to the murderer that keeps Shabbat, you're not allowed to charge him interest on the loan. Why? It's Shomer Shabbat. You have to give him a loan and you receive the same amount of money even after 50 years. You're not allowed to charge him interest. Because the Torah says, your brother, you cannot charge him interest. If you give a loan to this judge that is Mechalel Shabbat, you can kill him on the interest. Why? Because in Shulchan Aruch it says, in the laws of interest, that is 100% like a goy, and the Torah says that you're allowed to charge interest from the goyim.
Let's say he doesn't keep Shabbat when you give I give him a loan, he doesn't keep Shabbat.
Right.
I give him $50,000.
Yeah.
After a week, he starts keeping Shabbat.
Then you cannot charge him from that moment. That's why it's not good to give loans to Mechalelei Shabbat for two reasons. Mm-hmm. One reason, most likely they'll never return the loan. Unless if they're born honest people, naturally, there are people like this, Goyim, Jews, that don't keep Shabbat. But they're naturally honest. They don't know how to lie. This is the education they got from their parents in New Zealand, in Australia. They grew up very conservative. They're not deceiving, they're not lying, they're not the kind of people that a word is a word. You know? So somebody like this, you can give him a loan. But Mechalel Shabbat, with all the tricks that they do not care about their own soul. They don't have fear from Hashem. You understand what I'm saying here? They don't have any fear from Hashem. If he doesn't care about his own soul, you think he cares to return the money to you or not? What does he care about you? A minute after he gave him the money, he doesn't know who you are, Bichlal. Lo chpat lo, because he's not afraid. Unless, if he's naturally honest. Wait, wait, before you're attacking me with a question, let me just answer him. Okay, now. Now, Nina, maitam, lama af echad lo nichnas? Kalima, nu. Kalima, kalima, come in. Where are all the guys that were outside before?
Amen. If I can, I have another question.
Wait 1 second. Now we'll finish one at a time. One at a time. Okay. Now. Okay. Now. So in that case, I started to explain to you that if you charge him interest, if in the middle of the loan he become Shomer Shabbat, what you charge him up to now, you don't have to return to him. But from now on, you cannot charge him another penny. That's why it's a risk. When you give a loan to a Shomer Shabbat, even though he's an honest person, there's always a chance that he's going to meet somebody and make him religious. From that moment on, you cannot charge him interest. And what happens if he doesn't have the full principal amount to return? You may get stuck 3-4 years and you cannot charge him. When at the same time, you can give it to a goy and make money. So that's why it's not recommended to do it with the Jews. Then, you asked me before, and that's why I answer you about Shabbat. A person that smoked 5 cigarettes on Shabbat, or a person who smoked 50 cigarettes on Shabbat, the one who smoked 50 cigarettes on Shabbat, his punishment is 10 times worse. Now, since you told me, I do not know, you told me it takes 15 times to finish a cigarette. Each time, it's lighting a new fire on Shabbat. Now, a person who knows today it's Shabbat, as you say, he doesn't turn electric on, he doesn't sew, he doesn't write on Shabbat, he doesn't turn television on, but he smoke. Every time he smoke, he goes like this. It's just like murdering a person. And then second time, it's a second murder. Third time, fourth murder. Now, if he smoked 50 cigarettes times 15, right there, he killed in one Shabbat 75 people. And it's not an exaggeration. Don't think I'm exaggerating or I came here to exaggerate to make you scared. I'm just telling you what the law in the Shulchan Aruch is. Why? Many times I tell people, tell me, if I give you $1 million cash, would you take a 2-year-old cute Jewish baby and take his head and drown him in a tub until you see that he's shaking, he's trying to avoid, until he died, and I give you $1 million cash? Would you agree to do it for me?
No.
I didn't find so far one person who even considered it. And believe me, most people are broke. $1 million for a guy that came from Israel? Oh, I kiss your feet if he has to. Yeah? He's going to become, a prostitute in a bar in Manhattan, but he won't agree to murder that baby. You agree, right? Okay. If he only knew that by lighting a cigarette on Shabbat, he just committed a sin in the eyes of God, is much worse than killing that baby. But he doesn't think that way because he doesn't have God's logic. He only know what they taught him in school, when he went to school. In Israel, in America, in Iran, doesn't matter. That's what they teach over there. Now I'll give you the fourth proof why Mechalel Shabbat is worse than to murder. The fourth proof. In the Ten Commandments, it goes from the most important to the less important. What's the first one? I'm the God. I'm your God. Without it, there's no religion. What's the second one? Right? The second one is, do not have any other God but me. I don't have partners. Make no mistakes. It's one authority. That's it. Third one, it's the first three commandments is really one, if you really think about it. It's all connected. The third one, do not swear or lie by using my name, because I'm not your friend, and you have to respect me. So it's all one thing, to know there's God, there's not one, more than one, and you have to respect him and to keep his name holy to you. And that's what it is, really, it's only one. What comes right after? The covenant with God, which is the purpose of the creation. What is it? It's a marriage between us and God, the nation of Israel. I chose you from all the nations to be mine. V'shamru bnei Israel ta Shabbat. This is what we say in the Kiddush. The nation of Israel observed the Sabbath to make the Sabbath an eternal covenant between me and the nation of Israel. It's a sign for eternity that I am the God who created the world in 7 days, and in 6 days, and in a 7 day I rested. You understand? So this is a marriage, a covenant. Which commandment is you should not kill? The sixth one. Okay, so now we already have five proofs. One, how many times it's mentioned in the Torah. Second, the punishment. Shmechalel Shabbat, execution by stoning, and also the soul get cut out of Olam Haba, he has no share to the world to come. A murderer gets killed with a sword. The restriction against Mechalel Shabbat, all of them are against him. There's no restriction about murderer that keeps Shabbat. Okay? In the Ten Commandments, Mechalel Shabbat comes first. Now I give you another example. If a Mechalel Shabbat had a baby girl, he believes in God. He just doesn't want to listen to him. Now what happened? He wants to bring, in the old days it used to be Bet HaMikdash, he wants to bring a gift to God. A sacrifice, Korban Todah. A sacrifice of thank you. If a Mechalel Shabbat, that judge from the Supreme Court, wants to bring a sacrifice to God in Bet HaMikdash, the Kohanim not allowed to accept it from him. Not allowed. If Bruce Lee from China had a baby girl, after he kissed the feet of Buddha 5 minutes ago, he decided to bring a sheep into the Kohen, to Bet HaMikdash, to say thank you. He said thank you to all the gods, to this god, to that god. He has many gods in his head. He said, you know what? I'm a millionaire. What's the problem? I bring a sheep to this god, sheep to that god, sheep to the god of the Christian, sheep to great JC. I'll bring one to the Jews. And he comes to Bet HaMikdash and he gives the Kohen the sheep. He said, this is for your god, for giving me my baby girl. You accept it from him, and you sacrifice it for that goy.
Because he's not Jewish.
Yes. But a Jew that doesn't keep Shabbat
is worse than another.
I'll show you right now in a Rambam. You're not allowed to accept this goat from him to sacrifice it on the altar. Is that enough proofs? Okay, now you tell me, but it's an addiction, the cigarette. You see that I'm not lighting fire, I'm not doing this, I'm not driving a car. Oh, my only problem is I cannot quit smoking. One question I have for you. Do you fast on Yom Kippur?
Yeah.
Do you smoke also on Yom Kippur?
No.
Okay, now why on Yom Kippur you don't smoke, but on Shabbat you do smoke? Mm-hmm. Don't you know that according to the Torah, Shabbat is much more important than Yom Kippur?
Mm-hmm. I do, but Shabbat is like more often.
Oh, so, but no, but the fact that you can go one full day without smoking means it's possible. Also, if you tell me, no, it's not possible, I would promise you that if I give you $1,000 cash every Shabbat for not smoking, you wouldn't touch the cigarette. So now the conclusion is as follows. The only reason that you continue to smoke, obviously we know that you have this addiction, but really, what's the real reason? You don't believe in God enough, and you don't believe in the Torah enough, and you don't believe in the punishment that the Torah said. Because there's no way in the world that you just admitted for $1,000 you will not touch a cigarette for Shabbat. But for losing your eternity, you will smoke. Doesn't make sense. There's no comparison, right? If I tell you, I'll give you $1,000 if you don't smoke on Shabbat, and you tell me I'll take the deal. And then the next day I tell you, I'll give you $1,000,000 for not smoking on Shabbat, and you say, no, I'm not interested. I want to continue to smoke. So everyone will say, what, are you a fool? For $1,000 you agree not to smoke, for $1,000,000 you continue to smoke? Obviously you'll never do such a thing. How is it possible that for $1,000 or even $50 a person agree not to smoke on Shabbat? Agreed not to smoke on Shabbat, but what the Torah says that he has no share to the world to come, that doesn't bother him. There's only one conclusion. That for him, excuse my language, the Torah is really not the Torah, it's a toilet paper. That's what it is for him. Because if it would be a book from God, you know, when he touched the cigarette, you know what would happen to him? He would get a heart attack from panicking. Just from touching it, not lighting it. Just touch it on Shabbat, it would drop and faint right away. Right? I tell you the truth. If I would touch the most critical poison in the world and almost drink it, let's see, somebody gave it to me, I'm about to drink it, and he screamed, no, I saw this guy put the worst poison, look, he showed me the bottle, what? 1 second you choke. What would happen to me? For a month I wouldn't be able to function. What do you think? I would freeze from panicking. I would have a trauma, I need a psychologist. Why? I almost touched poison. But to light a cigarette on Shabbat? To take a baby and drown him in the water? And it doesn't bother me. I light a cigarette after that. What, I'm a Nazi? What's going on here? It's all one reason. Guys, it's no ignorance. Ignorance. The Jews have no idea what Shabbat is. That's why they do it. So Bezrat Hashem, after I explain to you now, and 48 hours from now, Shabbat begins. If you need to bang your head into the wall, if you need to put handcuffs on your hand, if you need your friend to break your head before you touch the cigarette, make it. 3-4 Shabbatot, you make somebody watch you, and then after that you get used to the new system. And I'm telling you, I have people who used to smoke 4 packs of cigarette on Shabbat. 4. And I made them quit. I'm sure you don't smoke 4 packs a day, right? 4 packs. Of, you know, in Israel, they used to have cigarettes called Nelson. It's double than Marlboro. That's how strong it is. 4 packs of Nelson in one Shabbat. And he quit. What? A light cigarette from cigarette. He finish it, he doesn't put it off. He take a new one and light it.
Basically the whole day.
All day. It's very difficult to see him without a cigarette. And on Shabbat, he sits in shul. Yes.
One more question.
Go ahead.
Let's say I don't keep Shabbat for 40 years. I asked the other guy before, but I didn't really get it.
No.
Let's say I don't keep Shabbat for 40 years.
Yeah.
And then I start keeping Shabbat.
Yeah.
What happened to those 40 years that I didn't keep Shabbat?
Okay. What is it like? I tell you, he has very good questions. And pay attention to what I answer him, because it applies to all of us. If a person didn't go to work for 40 years, let's say it's a good lawyer, he finished law school, and he can be a top lawyer in Wall Street, making $600 an hour. But he's lazy. He didn't want to go to work. From age 25, since he became a lawyer, until age 65, he didn't go to work. Okay, now at age 65, he decided to make tshuva, and he joined one of the firm in Wall Street. What happened? He begins to earn now. Anybody is going to pay him for the last 40 years that he was sleeping on the beach all day?
No.
Nobody gives him. Same thing in Judaism.
Too late.
But there's only one difference. Not being a lawyer, nobody break your bones. Nobody put you in hell for that. You are the one who lose the money. You don't come to work, you don't get paid. Being a violator of Shabbat, you accumulate billions of sins. And sins has a payment to pay. However, this is the mercy of God. One day you make tshuva. If the tshuva is real, most of the people who make tshuva, it's not real. It's nonsense. It's just from the outside. From the inside, they're still crooks. They're still full of ego. They're still stingy, they're still lazy, they're still lying all day, they're still looking at the ladies, they're still cheating here and there in Shabbat. They do a lot of sins. And then they wonder, why am I suffering so much? After I became Shomer Shabbat, I work with Yamaka, Tzitzit, what does Hashem want from me? You know why? Hashem is more angry at you now than before. Because before you were like an animal, he didn't expect that much from you. But now when he started to learn Torah, you see there's a strict judgment, and you cheat, and you curve the corners, and you pretend that God doesn't exist, that brings you to a higher level of a crime. There's a difference between a person. I'll give you an example. There was one doctor who made abortions for 10 years. Thousands of babies he murdered. One time, an activist showed him a video. Hard to believe. This doctor is making abortions every day. They showed him a new video that came out. They're able to follow a baby in the middle of an abortion with a sonogram. So far, it was static. You can only take pictures. Now they make an actual live video of it, that they see how the baby is moving inside. You see? So when they show him that film, I saw an interview with him. Believe me, he couldn't talk. You should see how he was shaking. He said, I just realized what I did. I don't know where to bury myself. Right away, he quit. He took all his money, he gave out to tzedakah, all his money. He had a lot of money. He became fully religious, and of course, he started to become an activist against abortion. What changed? Up to now, he was a lion. A lion sees a zebra, he eats. He doesn't understand it's a murder. Now he became a person. A lion that murdered is not guilty. A person that murdered is guilty. When a person found out that now there is Hashem, there is Torah, there is the truth, there is Shulchan Aruch, there is heaven and hell, there is reward and punishment, I am a free choice. I'm not a regular animal that doesn't have a free choice. Now I can do good or bad. Every second Hashem is watching me and continue to do what the goyim does. It's a much higher level of crime than before. Imagine that doctor, after they shown him that abortion, continue a minute later to take another woman and do it. Everybody would agree that up to now, we give him the benefits of the doubt that he doesn't know what he's doing. He wasn't aware. Now we show him how the baby is running away from the knife and he does it? Hitler is a tzaddik compared to him. What? Even Hitler didn't chop the kids with his own hands. He let others do it. Or let the oven do it. There's different levels in murders. When you murder a person with your own knife like this, it's worse than when you put him inside and the fire comes 2 minutes later. Did you know that? Did you know that or not?
That's how they do abortions, they take a baby?
Yes, and a third month, there's a full baby, they take a knife inside the wound, and they cut everything, and then they vacuum everything. That's what they do, what do you think?
The doctor's job, like, he didn't do it because, like, he didn't like the kids or something, like, he did it because it was his job, no?
Okay, I have a job for you. You want to make $30,000 a week? I give you a list of people that I want you to kill every day. Okay, fair? Ma, you're not a murderer, it's a job. What kind of question is that? So I give you a job, you genocide million people, I give you $1 billion. Very good, no? People understand, you take a goy, you take a goy. You tell them, I want you to work for me, your job is to kill. Some would agree, I'm not saying no. But the one who killed for the first time, you know how many days his hands is shaking? I promise you, he cannot function for the first week. After he killed many people, he get used to it. That's the problem.
Yeah, but what if the parents want the abortion on their child?
They go to a different doctor that's not Jewish.
Yes. Even a goy is not allowed to do abortion. The goy is not allowed to murder. It's against the seven law of Noah. Yeah. All right, let's change the subject. I just wanted to use it as an example. So no more cigarettes on Shabbat. No more cigarettes. Deal?
After you said all this, I can't even turn a light on Shabbat.
Very good.
Try.
Yalla.
But he has to come over my house and protect
me. Now we'll take care of him. Here. Sagur. That's it. Handshake, it's like swearing with the Torah, you know. That's it. Now what's with you now? You had a question before. Go ahead. No? Oh, what's the question? In English, because the lecture is in English.
I wanted to
Monday I'm speaking here. There's four times more people coming in Hebrew. Come on Monday. He doesn't speak Hebrew and he come on Monday. Huh?
Yeah.
Monday, we try to do something in English now. No, go ahead.
Okay, so what is lachzor b'tshuva? Like, what exactly is it? You have to do all the laws in the Torah or just like, you know, just the basic ones?
No.
Shabbat.
No. The Torah say, v'shavta ad Hashem elokecha v'shamata v'kolo, and you return all the way to your God. Chazal ask, what does it mean all the way to God? Where is God? 10,000 feet above me? 30,000 feet above me? 1,000,000 feet above me? Where is God? The answer is, all the way to God means to keep every one of his laws of the Torah. Now you may say, but I'm not an angel. Right? God knows you're not an angel, but he's checking how serious you are. You gotta do everything you can to learn Torah, to put tefillin, to eat kosher, to keep Shabbat, to watch your eyes, to get married, to be an honest husband, to be a good father. This is a part of Judaism. You understand? But if you only do what you like, your tshuva is very, very partial tshuva. It's not a complete tshuva.
Yeah.
Okay, now, there was another question that we didn't answer before. You had a question? Who had another question before?
But he has a Jewish soul, though.
Who?
Interest, when you give interest. He has a Jewish soul.
What yeah, but soul but let me explain to you something. I was in my 20s. One time my wife received a pair of tickets to a show in Manhattan. Very famous show, $300 a ticket. She used to work in a fur coat factory. And they gave her as a bonus, I don't know. For us, people that we used to make a few hundred dollars a week in those days, it was a lot of money to get $600 a gift. You got to take care of, you know, the people that they go to buy in a store only because it's 50% off? He doesn't need a generator. But instead of $1,000, he went down to $500 for one day, so he go and buy it. Well, he feels like he made $500. This is the way the foolish people think.
Yeah.
Or a person has coupon, now he go and buy screwdriver. What does he need? You have 15 already. No, because the other one I bought for $20, now it went down to $7. I want to buy the second one, like this is going to be together $27, so the price of the first one will drop to $13. You understand what's going on here? Okay. So we wanted to go to the show, so we went to the show. And guess what happened? When we got to the show, the guy, it was a big, giant guy, he looked at us. We were not dressed tuxedo, black tie. I didn't know what the Rainbow Room is. I didn't know, I was a young guy. What did I know that is the most famous place in the world? So I give him the tickets. First of all, I saw that all the people are 60 years and older. And all rich, limousines. You see right away all the rich people. Right away I started to feel nervous. I said, what do I care? I have the tickets. Let's see what it is. I didn't even know what the show is. Just wanted to see what does it mean, $300 ticket. So the guy looks at us. He was very surprised. Never had such a thing. Young people come like this, the way they dress, not black tie. He looked at me, he looked at my wife. Now you see, he doesn't feel comfortable with the situation. He takes a flashlight, he check, maybe it's fake. He said, I'm sorry guys, I cannot let you in. Wow. I said, what's the problem? He said, no, you have the tickets, I know, it's all fine, but you didn't fulfill the instructions in the back of the ticket. You see here, no jeans, no sneakers, no this, no that, no this. He has a restriction of it. One or two of the things in the back, we didn't do. We didn't pay attention to the small letters. So according to the law of that place, yes, you have a ticket. Your mother is Jewish. You have a share to the world to come, but you just blew it. You burned your ticket by being Mechalel Shabbat, by worshipping an idol. You betrayed God. He took you and threw you out of there. That's what it means, V'nichreta ha'nefesh ha'im Yisrael. What do you think? God cares that your mother was a Jewish righteous woman that kept Shabbat? He checked who you are. He checked who you are. The Torah says, Lo yumtu avot al banim, lo yumtu banim al avot. Kids don't die because of their parents, and parents don't die because of their kids. Unless it's their direct fault, which means you put your kid in public school. And then they became what they became. So now he's murdering people. It's your fault. Cannot say it's somebody else's fault. You turned him into what he is. Because if you send him to a good place and they raise him as a good kosher person, it wouldn't happen. But if you put him in a best yeshiva and then he chose to murder, then it's not your fault. Yes?
I was in public school throughout my whole life. What does that mean?
It means that your parents made a mistake. We're not judging them, though, because I don't know their situation. Maybe they didn't have the money. Maybe they didn't have the knowledge. But it means that Hashem puts you in a very low start in your life. When a kid starts in public school, that means his soul needed a major correction from the previous life. That's why you started in public school. When the soul is better, then it starts in yeshiva, because he has the tools to see the truth right away. But it doesn't mean that a person who went to public school cannot do the right thing. I have hundreds of kids like you that went to public school, they came to the lecture, and today they're all in yeshivot. Learning full day, hundreds. So it doesn't mean you cannot do the same thing, yeah.
The thing is that I'm debating, like not really debating, the thing is that there's a lot of people, like religious Jews, that keep Shabbat, that do all these things, but yet they also, they cheat, like not they cheat on like that, but like they always, like they take money from other people, they make, like let's say I have a situation with my grandfather that he doesn't have a lot of money. And he had rabbis, one of his people, this woman he knew, she passed away, Zichrona Levracha. And now he doesn't have the money, and he told them buy a Torah for the shul, this, that, and like Torah is expensive.
Nice.
And my grandfather, like he wanted to do it, but like he kept on telling him, do it, and then he did it. And my grandfather is not a wealthy person, and no, he doesn't work right now, doesn't that. And I see that a lot of these religious people.
I got the point.
Come right.
First of all, we'll start with the end. Did you ever see in a Torah that God commanded the Jews to be like other Jews? Did you ever see anywhere in the Torah that it say be like Moshe, be like Yeshua,
no,
be like Rabbi Akiva? Nowhere in the Torah.
No, I know.
Okay, the Torah didn't say to be like another Jew. The actions of the Jews have no connection to the truth of God. Remember, if all the Jews in the world today decide to be murderers 100% full time, You and I has no permission to murder. If all the religious people have big desire to steal and to cheat, you and I still don't have no permission to steal one penny. And we cannot use this as an excuse, because I saw people with yarmulke lying and cheating and forcing people to donate Sefer Torah. I always in my lecture warn all the people not to be fooled. And finally, when they give tzedakah, to know where to give and to check 10 times. Every one of my lecture I push for 3-4 minutes. Because I see today there's a massive production, massive production of babot, of fake people who takes advantage on people and make them hate the religion. Why does it happen? You know why does it happen? If you see cats outside in your back door, and you open the kitchen door, right? And you put cheese on the floor in your kitchen. What's the chance that the cats will not enter to eat the cheese? There's any chance? You put cheese here on the floor, and the cat is right there, and you leave the door open, and you disappear. There's any chance that the cat will not enter your kitchen and start licking the cheese? This is what the people do to this babot. There's a lot of fake people, and they found a very easy way to make money. The world is full of stupid people. The world is full of ignorant people. The world is full of naive people. The world is full of people who tell stories about other supposedly holy people. So it became like a big, massive production. And these people, even if they didn't want to do it, they saw that it's so easy that all day that's what they do. They saw 5,000 there, 2,000 there, 30,000 there, $36 million in one night. It's very good business to close my eyes, to go like this. There are so many foolish people. You know, one Arab found a very good way. He was one of the first babot. 25 years he sat by Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai with tefillin and talit on his head and give brachot to all the Jews who come to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. After 25 years, accidentally, they found out he's an Arab. Wow. So they told him, but why did you tell them to keep Shabbat? To put tefillin, to eat kosher, to be honest. Why? So he said to them, you fools, what did you want me to tell them? Go to the bars in Shabbat? How would I become a Baba? I only become a Baba by telling them what the Torah says. Otherwise, there's no chance to start. After they get my trust, they trust me, then it's easy to cheat them. You understand what's going on here? Okay, so my rule to you is, it's true what you say. I don't like to cover up. There are people who are not good, but they are the minority. Still they are the minority. Most of the religious people are good people. If they became religious, it's because they want to be close to Hashem. They want to correct their way. No one is an angel, believe me. Very, very big people, they also have desires. People make mistakes. Sometimes Lashon Hara, and then they regret it. Sometimes they ate something not 100% kosher, there's a doubt, then they regret it. Sometimes they look at something they're not supposed to look, and they regret it. Then comes Yom Kippur, and every day you do vidui. That's the challenge of life. But definitely, never take someone to learn from him how to be bad. I will finish with one quick story, and we'll let you go. And Bezrat Hashem, this is the first time we're doing it tonight. I want you next Wednesday to bring each one of you at least 3 more guys, like we have in Hebrew. You know, this is my second lecture tonight. I was already here, and I wanted to be bigger. You know, every one of you knows 3-4 guys. You bring them over, it's going to be a schut. If they become religious, it counts like you made them religious. All you have to do is to bring them over. Bezrat Hashem. I'll tell you a story. One time in Cincinnati, there's Rabbi Silver. He see that one 70 years old man entered the shul on Shabbat. He took a yarmulke from the box. He put it on his head. White yarmulke. He comes. He takes the sidur. He prays on Shabbat. Everything he knows. He answers Kaddish. Everything. And by the end of the davening, he takes the yarmulke, put it back in the box. He's ready to leave. The rabbi quickly comes to him and says, sir, what happened? He said, I tell you, if you would see what I saw in the Holocaust, you also become like this. So the rabbi said, what did you see? Many people were in the Holocaust and they stay religious. What did you see? So he said, he said to him, he says like this, we were very, very strict people. We were religious and everything. We wanted to put tefillin every day, and we had only one pair of tefillin in a whole camp. And one man had the tefillin, and he didn't let us put tefillin for free. He wanted a payment for it. So if you want to put tefillin, you have to give him a potato, you have to give him a cigarette, you have to give him a piece of bread, you have to give him your vest. You had an extra vest, so you give it to him for 20 times. He writes in his notebook how much you have to pay, and that's the only way he lets you put tefillin. And nobody has tefillin. So 5 o'clock in the morning, when the German is about to show up every minute, we're all standing in line, quickly, 1 minute to put tefillin and say, Shema Israel. One time a guy told him, I don't have what to give you. I don't have any more what to give you. I cannot pay you anymore. You took everything I have. Let me put tefillin. So the guy said, no, no payment, no tefillin. So he told him, but I don't have. If I had, you saw, I paid you for months. I have nothing to give you. He said, I'm sorry, you don't give me anything, I'm not letting you put tefillin. So the guy was telling now the story to Rabbi Silver. He said, that moment I took my yarmulke off, I threw it in the mud, and I said, that's it. If religion is all business, I'm done with that. So the rabbi told him, your ears should listen to your foolish mouth. Hundreds of Jews were standing online in a freezing weather, 5 o'clock in the morning, giving their last bite of bread to that crook. Just not to miss one day of mitzvah tefillin, and you did not learn anything from all these righteous Jews that gave their life to keep the mitzvah. Nothing you learn from them. One wicked Jew, you learn everything from him. Who are you telling stories? It's all excuses. The guy started to cry. 70 years old man. Rabbi, you're right. It's all excuses. And this is exactly what I tell you. Your evil inclination and mine and his and everybody else always will tell us you don't have to be so strict. Look at this guy. He's also religious 20 years. He eats here. He goes to the wedding when it's mixed. He does this. He does that. He's cheating in the business. You see, it doesn't have to be so straight like you. There's other ways to be religious. What do you think? The Satan is interested to convince you not to do the right thing. Your job is to remember, I'm not following people. I'm following the law. There's a book of law. Shulchan Aruch. Allowed to steal? No. Allowed to cheat? No. Allowed to lie? No. Allowed to be mechalel Shabbat? Of course not. You understand? And just because you see somebody with a yarmulke does somebody something bad, the opposite. You should say, you know what? I have to work on myself that it won't happen to me also. If it happened to a guy that is religious, that means it can happen to me tomorrow. Let me work on myself that what happened to him won't happen to me. Thank you very much. We'll see you next time. On